Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, we've documented it over the past couple of weeks. The president's got his lowest approval rating among women in recorded history. We've also got members of the Congressional Black Caucus, while throwing major epithets at the Tea Party, also not very happy with the president. Now, perhaps one of his last allies is also getting a little bit impatient, and that's The Washington Post, saying that Obama's claims about passing the largest tax cut in history as part of the stimulus isn't true. His claims that Iran is now further away from developing a nuclear weapon clearly isn't true. It looks as though his last friends are starting to question him.
I don't even have the time to go through page by page, but on the editorial page, the editors say that, you know, contrary to his claims, it's becoming more likely that Iran's going to become a nuclear weapon. Tom Tolles, the cartoonist who is usually no friend to the conservatives, depicts Obama on the golf course and saying it's supposed to be pivot to jobs, not divot to jobs, which to me suggests that the whole Obama golfing his way through a four-year recession has now gone mainstream. The fact checker says that his claim that he passed the biggest tax cut in American history is ridiculous. That's an actual quote there. Courtland Malloy, a reliably liberal columnist, is mocking Obama for his $50,000 a week vacation on Martha's Vineyard, declaring, "Going to an oceanside villa last month while millions are losing their homes and jobs suggests you don't know much about these tough times." This is just in the first two sections, Greg. So I think I haven't gotten to the sports page, the comics section, the classified ads might be criticizing Obama at this rate. Richard Cohen announces that Obama has lost the Hamptons. And as we all know, as the Hamptons go, so goes America. Just a plethora of bad news for Obama today.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you lose Tolles, Malloy, and Cohen all at the same time, you're really in bad shape among the base, certainly. And as long as we can keep that base dispirited, which is easier said than done as we get closer and closer to Election Day, definitely good thing if you're looking to restore some fiscal sanity and just general sanity to the White House in next year's campaign. So on to martini number two now. And Jim, it was just a few months ago where General Petraeus was recommending more troops than the president wanted to keep in Afghanistan. And of course, the president made his promise to draw down the troops in the very sentence after he announced the surge in Afghanistan at the end of 2009. So the president, of course, needs to run for re-election and once again appeal to that base we just mentioned to suggest that we're getting out of these wars. Well, now the same thing has happened in Iraq, with the commanders there wanting 27,000 troops still in Iraq at the end of the year. Obama reduced that to 10,000, and now he wants it down to 3,000, which the commanders say that's barely enough to train the Iraqis, not really enough to do anything else if there's a major security crisis there. So when the president is so down in the dumps in poll numbers when it comes to the economy, the one thing he seemed to have going for him with the killing of bin Laden and some of these other al-Qaeda lieutenants in recent months is that he was looking relatively competent on national security. Trumping your generals and running the risk and rolling the dice of having not enough troops to be able to respond to something is just foolhardy, it seems.
You know, Greg, I see this as a twofer in terms of bad martinis, because a couple of weeks ago I was speaking to a retired general, a name probably most listeners would recognize, but since the conversation, I don't think it was on the record, so I'm not going to name him. But basically, this retired general was very, very worried about Iraq, and he really felt like we had seen remarkable progress since the surge. He felt like Iraq was on the road to becoming a stable and potentially, you know, if not friendly, then you know, non-hostile nation in the Middle East. And he felt in the last couple of months he had just seen a serious deterioration there. I think having 3,000 troops in it would only accelerate the deterioration. It's kind of hard to imagine the U.S. would have much influence over what's going on over there. And he was asking me about what I thought of the public opinion on this. And I had to give him the bad news, which is that I think American people are largely forgotten about Iraq. I think they're ready to cut it off and just kind of forget about it and move on and deal with their own problems here in the United States, which, as satisfying as that may sound, you know, the idea of Iraq going to pot on Obama's watch would be, I think, greatly complicate American influence throughout the world. So I think the bad news is that Obama wants to get out as quickly as possible and darn the consequences. And I think it's also very ominous. I don't see him suffering much political consequence of that kind of a proposal. I really don't see the Republican presidential candidates really eager to say, "Hey, we have to keep another 50,000 troops in Iraq indefinitely."
Yeah, exactly. And now that General Petraeus has retired and gone over to the CIA, He doesn't have his magic bullet in trying to go back and fix some things necessarily. Not to say that there aren't other commanders who can do an excellent job, but Petraeus has been the go-to guy for the last two presidents, and now with him off the scene entirely from central command, that's going to be a major issue if, in fact, there are major flare-ups, which could happen before December 31st, since the enemy knows that we are leaving, or after, which would be even worse once we're already gone and are really not in a position to do anything about it. So the president, once again, looking at the calendar more than the facts on the ground, which is unfortunate. On to Martini number three now, which is a follow-up to Martini number two. Yesterday, we denounced James Hoffa, the head of the Teamsters Union, for his profane and incendiary comments at a union rally and introducing the president of the United States. Yesterday, here was the strong denunciation of White House Press Secretary Jay Carney of those comments.
The president wasn't there. I mean, he wasn't on stage. He didn't speak for another 20 minutes. He didn't hear it. I really don't have any comment beyond that.
Well, there you go. The president wasn't on stage at the time, hadn't really heard him, Jim, and now we're hearing from the White House that the president is not the Democratic speech police. So apparently he's washing his hands of it, and that old line, you know, the buck stops here, apparently never got to him.
You know, on the one hand, we really shouldn't be surprised. On the other hand, I think this illustrates two phenomena. One, Hoffa could have actually shot somebody on stage, and I don't think Obama would have denounced that. I think this just shows you how not merely symbiotic, but perhaps even parasitic the National Democratic Party is on the unions, that Obama couldn't afford to speak a critical word of him or Trumka or any other union leader at this point. The second thing I just kind of noticed from that is we all remember when, you know, John McCain criticized one of the preceding speakers for referring to Barack Hussein Obama in his introduction of McCain. Well, and, you know, Obama apparently had, you know, given McCain grief over this. Well, apparently now it doesn't matter what you say. Obama doesn't believe that he's responsible for the tone in his party or what anybody else says. And if that's the case, fine. But, you know, don't hold Palin responsible for anything somebody says at any of her rallies. Don't blame any Republican candidate for any sign at any of these rallies. I mean, I think those of us who are just kind of shaking our heads as we watch this, we just want one consistent perspective on this. And if it turns out that the correct solution is that you can only hold the speaker accountable for their own words, fine. Let's apply this to both sides.
Absolutely right. I think those are the thunderclouds rolling in not only over your house, but over the hypocrisy of the Obama administration and what appears to be dark horizons ahead for this campaign. How's that for using the
metaphor? Yes.
Yes, yes. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.